This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. And happy Cinco de Mayo to you. France confirms first COVID case was at the end of December. What? According to Reuters, out of Paris, a French hospital which has retested old samples from pneumonia patients discovered that it treated a man who had COVID-19 as early as December 27th, nearly a month before the French government confirmed its first cases. Yves Cohen, head of resuscitation, which is a great title, at the Aviance Jean Verdier hospitals in the northern suburbs of Paris told BFM TV that scientists had retested samples from 24 patients treated in December and January who tested negative for the flu. Of the 24, we had one who was positive for COVID-19 on December 27th, he told the news channel on Sunday, although presumably he said it in French. Anyways, each sample was retested several times to ensure there were no errors, he added. Neither Cohen nor his team were immediately available for comment on Monday for some reason. France, which has seen almost 25,000 people die from the virus since March 1st, confirmed its first three COVID-19 cases on January 24th, including two patients in Paris and another in the southwestern city of Bordeaux. Cohen, whose name actually means priest in Hebrew, said it was too early to know if the patient whose December 27th test was COVID-19 positive is France's patient zero. Knowing who was the first patient, the first COVID-19 case, is critical to understanding how the virus spread, according to Reuters. But apparently it's also not critical to understanding how the government can shut everything down. You can apparently shut everyone's business down and order everyone to stay home without knowing critical information. Like, when did this virus actually start? High Priest Cohen said the patient had unfortunately survived. Okay, he didn't say unfortunately. I said that. And that a first investigation to trace the first contamination has been carried out. But meanwhile, the CDC is trying to keep up with all the numbers, pesky numbers. The CDC has updated its number of COVID-19 deaths. Apparently over the weekend, a headline was going around rampantly, maybe even virally, that the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention downgraded the number of dead to 37,000. Did I read this wrong, or did the CDC just revise the national COVID-19 deaths to 37,308? Exclamation, exclamation, question mark, exclamation, tweeted Tim Young, who identifies himself as an author, host, and comedian on his Twitter bio. Young linked to a page entitled Provisional Death Counts for Coronavirus Disease on the CDC website. On that page, you will see that the total number of deaths from COVID-19 is listed at 38,576. It's surely got up by the time you check it now, which is a whole lot less than the 68,285 deaths being reported from coronavirus via the Johns Hopkins University Center for Systems Science and Engineering. The Worldometer likewise lists coronavirus deaths at 69,709 as of Monday evening. But the CDC number is based on deaths that are confirmed by a test or presumed to be COVID-19 and coded to ICD-10 code U07.1 for all you medical technicians out there. The CDC website says provisional death counts are based on death certificate data received and coded by the National Center for Health Statistics as of May 4th, 2020. May the 4th be with you. No, that's not in there. Death counts are delayed and may defer from other published sources. See technical notes. Counts will be updated periodically, unquote. So the CNN story breathlessly assures us that this means that there has been no uncertainty or shifting in coronavirus numbers at all. Ever. Ever. None of the numbers have ever changed. The high priests of science and data models are never wrong. Thus saith science and data models and peer-reviewed journals, except for the studies and data models that weren't peer-reviewed. But actually, it does raise questions. So maybe the original tweet was a little hyperbolic, but how do Johns Hopkins or the Worldometer folks get their numbers exactly? I understand that the claim here is that there is a lag in reporting to the CDC, and so they're updating their numbers a bit more slowly. And maybe there's a good explanation for that, but it still seems strange to me. Meanwhile, a new government document is predicting that by June 1st, the U.S. will be recording 200,000 new COVID-19 cases a day and 3,000 deaths a day. apparently as a result of states beginning to reopen, apparently as a result of people regaining their constitutional liberties, people are going to die. The president, sitting in the Lincoln Memorial Sunday night, said he now thinks around 100,000 Americans will die from the virus before it's all over. Some critics were quick to point out that 3,000 deaths a day would be well over 100,000 within 100 days. But what they don't understand is that these data models are flexible, like Gumby. Somebody needs to do a senior project, I'm serious, and just document all the revisions to the data predictions. Surely someone out there has been taking screenshots of them all. Let's just line them up and play some music, something soothing or maybe something not so soothing. Meanwhile, North Korea accidentally shot at South Korea. No, seriously, this is not the Babylon Bee. CNN reports that North Korea fired gunshots at a South Korean guard post in the demilitarized zone, a buffer area which separates the two countries, on Sunday. And then the South fired back, according to its military. The North Korean gunfire hit the wall, but did not injure anyone or cause any discernible damage to the guard post or its equipment, said South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff. Several bullets from the North were fired into the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, at 7:41 a.m. local time, Sunday. The South Korean military responded by broadcasting a verbal warning and then returning fire twice, according to protocol outlined in the response manual. I'm just imagining them looking up the response manual and saying, okay, fire twice. Anyways, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Sunday that initial reports indicated the gunfire from the North was, in fact, accidental. I've seen that reporting too. I've seen some of our internal information as well. We can confirm at least the initial reports are that you've described are just about right. A handful of shots that came across from the North, we think those were accidental. South Koreans did return fire, so far as we can tell. There was no loss of life on either side, Pompeo said Sunday on ABC's This Week. Oops. Accidentally shot you. Shot your building. Under the military accord signed between the two Koreas on September 29th, 2018, the South and North each demolished 11 guard posts along the DMZ, but dozens of guard posts still remain. There have been exchanges of fire between the Koreas in the past, including in 2017, when a North Korean soldier defected to the Joint Security Area, and in 2014, when a North Korean defector organization launched balloons of leaflets criticizing the country's reclusive regime. But in other news, the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has reappeared, accidentally, or maybe intentionally. He had not been seen publicly for weeks, and appeared Friday on state television at a fertilizer factory. You can't make this stuff up, seriously. And apparently he was fully alive. During that period, Kim had missed an annual event held on April 15th in honor of his grandfather. We don't know why he chose to miss that moment. We know there have been other extended periods of time where Chairman Kim's been out of public view as well, so it's not unprecedented. We've seen the same images from yesterday that the world saw. Looks like Chairman Kim is alive and well, Pompeo said. Asked whether Kim was seriously ill during this period, Pompeo said, I just can't say anything about that. He also refused to say whether the U.S. had any information about whether Kim's situation was connected to COVID-19 or heart issue. And lastly, you might have heard Candace Owens got Twitter disciplined. Oh, yes. She is in the corner with a cone on her head. Candace Owens, popular conservative activist, founder of Blexit, was suspended from Twitter Saturday after tweeting that the people of Michigan need to stand up to Governor Whitmer, open your businesses and go to work. The full tweet read, apparently Governor Whitmer believes she is a duly elected dictator of a socialist country. The people of Michigan need to stand up to her, open your businesses, go to work. The police think she's crazy too. They are not going to arrest 10 million people for going to work, unquote. An iPhone screenshot from Owen's account shows the tweet along with the warning message she received from Twitter, which does not list the rule she allegedly violated. I unequivocally stand by every single word of my tweet, Owens said. If Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez can use Twitter's platform to encourage workers to walk out and boycott, I should be allowed to encourage lawful citizens to resume work. The only person breaking any laws is governor turned dictator Gretchen Whitmer, who is impoverishing millions, ignoring the votes of her state legislature, and as a result, rolling over the constitutionally protected rights of Michigan's citizens. Twitter was unable or unwilling to provide me with any specific rule that I violated. which is why I've appealed their decision, said Owens. While I'm not an expert on Twitter TOS, terms of service, I cannot see how suggesting people ought to work would be a violation of anything other than socialist reverie. What Owens doesn't realize is that in the new world COVID order, everything is an accident, or not, or maybe, depending on how we feel right now, or tomorrow, or yesterday. Also, the numbers mean everything. They are critical information, and they also don't mean anything at all, or maybe they mean something else. And we aren't sure, but also maybe. Also, since we evolved from pond bubbles, that's it. Because. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News that didn't evolve from pond bubbles. It was created by the semi-intelligent minds at the Fight Laugh Feast Network, which you can find more of at CrossPolitik.com or FightLaughFeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Go ahead and do it. Just do it. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, who does not have a mullet, but he does have an awesome worldview baseball culture podcast. Support Rowdy Christian Media, become a Fight Laugh Feast club member, get a cool t-shirt, wear it. In fact, if you got one, just take a picture of yourself with it and post it. It would be encouraging, you know, because we live in Idaho and there's only like 5 people that live here with us. Also, you can get access to tons of content if you're a member and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. You also get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, where we hope to meet many of you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st to the 3rd, where we will sing psalms and drink beer, and we will toast to the glory of God. Register now, FightLaughFeast.com. Have a great day.